We really give God the praise and the glory. I really enjoyed last time when I was with you guys, and it's an honor to be back again. It's really an honor to be back. And I just want to celebrate with Pastor Fola on his new book that is out on what fathers should teach their children. So please make sure that's the book. Make sure all roads lead to the Love Assembly Sunday for the launch, and Amazon. Make sure you get your hands on it. The book is timely. It's out at such a right time. Praise the Lord forevermore. Glory to God in the highest. And so today I'm going to be sharing on a theme that is ongoing for this month in Love Assembly. It's the theme called Eternity, God's Time and Seasons. I'm just going to dip my toes a little bit into that and just move as the Spirit of God would lead me to move. Let's have a word of prayer right now. Father in heaven, we worship and we bless you for this time that we have together. Lord, I pray that you will think through my mind, speak through my lips, use my vocal cords. Let Jesus be glorified. I pray that your presence and power will be made manifest in this broadcast. I pray that you will speak to us expressly. Don't let anyone leave this broadcast without a word from you, Father in heaven. Minister to us. Get across to us. Let your name be glorified. We vow to give you praise and glory for all that you will do. Touch us as only you can. In the name of Jesus, we bind the work and the plans and purposes of the devil and the agents under his control to disrupt and affect this broadcast and any life under the sound of our voices, in Jesus' name and amen. Praise God. And so I'm starting up there. The theme again is Eternity, God's Time and Seasons. I want to start off by letting you know that time to you and I is very different from time, from the way time is to God. Time to you and I is very different from the way time is to God. God doesn't live within the confines of time or eternity. Eternity and time live in God. Eternity and time are inside God. So God is not in eternity. Eternity is in God. God is not in time. Time is in God. And there's so many things about God that on this side of eternity we do not understand and we do not know. But the day will come when we'll understand things fuller in a better dimension. I want to start to share from Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and I'm going to start to read from verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and I'm going to begin to read from verse 11. And I read, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Here, Solomon was saying that he returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, the battle not to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. You can see those words, time and chance, at the end of that verse. When I came across this verse of scripture in the Bible, it liberated me. You know, I looked and suddenly I realized that even though I didn't have certain things going on in my life, God could still achieve great things in my life. He says the race is not to the swift, the battle not to the strong. We're not saying that fast people don't win races, or strong people don't win battles, or wise people don't have provision, or that men of understanding don't have riches, or men of skill don't have favor. But what the scripture is saying is that there are times when people have these abilities. They are fast, they are strong, they are wise, they have understanding, they have skill, and yet things just don't add up. What they're expecting doesn't happen. And you could be listening to me today, and you look at your life, and it seems as if you don't have it all together. You don't have all the pieces fitting the way you want them to fit. But one of the things I want to tell you tonight is that even if you're not as swift as you feel you should be, God can turn things around in your life. Even if you're not as strong as you believe you should be. The Solomon said here, he said he returned and saw under the sun. And he listed out these things. And he goes on to say that the battle is not to the strong. I mean, one of the classic examples of that is the battle between David and Goliath. David beside Goliath was a runt. Goliath was a giant. He was stronger than David. He was bigger than David. He was more ferocious than David. He had more experience and skill at war than David. And yet, at the end of the day, David won the battle by the hand of the Lord, by the strength of the Lord. One with God is a majority. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what insecurities you have as you're listening to me. I don't know whether you look at yourself and wonder, what kind of a life do I have? I'm saying God can turn things around for you. The race is not necessarily to the swift. I've seen people so fast in the Olympics, but suddenly they had a problem with one of their muscles and they couldn't finish the race. Let's move on. The latter part of that verse of scripture, it says, but time and chance happened to them all. This is so important. As I studied and meditated on this verse of scripture, I see time there. That, remember the theme for this month? I see time there. One of the things we can take away from here is being in the right place at the right time. It says time and chance happened to them all. You may not be so fast. You may not be so strong. You may not have the understanding that some other people have. You may not have the skills some other people have. But if there are certain things in place in your life, and of course the main thing is a relationship with God, things can turn around. And it says, time and chance happeneth to them all. I want to see time as being in the right place at the right time. And I want to see chance as opportunity. When preparation meets opportunity, success is the result. Time. The ability to be in the right place at the right time. That's one prayer I pray so regularly in my life, that Lord, help me to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, meeting the right people. I remember the story of Reinhard Bonnke. He was a Bible school student in Wales. I think he had finished the Bible school, and then he just came for a day or so in England. He was walking around and he was taking bus after bus. He just joyriding all over the city that he was in. And It got to a point, he just alighted somewhere, just by chance, just alighted somewhere and was walking around the neighborhood, and he came across a house and he saw the name of a man of God that he had just read about, one of the Jeffrey brothers. And he entered and knocked on the door and said, and the lady that opened the door, he asked, I said, is this the home of so-and-so Jeffries? And she said, yes. And he said, can I see him? And she said, no, you can't see him. And, the late Reinhard Bonnke of blessed memory, in his jovial manner, he said the lady was so big that she filled the entire door. And he didn't even know. Then he heard a voice. Apparently, the man of God was coming down the staircase and said, let him come in. Said it with a deep, resounding voice. He said he didn't know how. He slid past that fat woman and saw the man of God. And they sat down together and they talked for a long time. And he prayed with Reinhard Bonnke. And the power of God came upon him. The anointing of God. He made a connection that changed his life and his ministry. He picked up a mantle. Why did I share that story? Reinhard Bonnke happened to be at the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, meeting the right person. The right opportunity presented itself. And the rest is history. If you can pray that prayer, Lord, cause me to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, meeting the right people, something will turn around in your life. Look with me at Ecclesiastes chapter 9 very quickly. The same Ecclesiastes chapter 9, I'm going to read from verse 14. Just as I round up on this scripture, the Bible says that in verse 14, it says, there was a little city and a few men within it. And there came a great king against it and besieged it and built a bulwarks against it. Verse 15, now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Verse 16, then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. And now there are several things in these scriptures that connect to what we were reading before. It says there was a little city. That's verse 14. Solomon says there was a little city, and there were few men in this city, and there came a great king against the city. So there was a little city, a few men, and then a great king with a great army comes against them, and yet he didn't overpower the city, because there was somebody in the city, a man of wisdom, who deployed his wisdom, gave the inhabitants strategy how to overcome the onslaught of this great man and his great army. And yet at the end of the day, that wise man, his wisdom was not remembered. His wisdom was forgotten about. And that encapsulates things we've been talking about. A tiny city and a great king with a great army couldn't overpower it. I want to talk to somebody listening to me. You may not have what you think you ought to have, but one with God is a majority. Don't write yourself off. And guess what? Don't let people write you off. See yourself as God sees you. Stop looking at yourself through the eyes of everybody except the eyes of God. I want to look at Psalm 110 as I begin to get into the depth of my message. Psalm 110. As I was sharing a couple of days ago with Pastor Fola, my host, the Holy Spirit said, speak about this. Psalm 110, and I'll be reading from verse 1. Psalm 110, from verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Now, I want you to stay with me because I'm going to share a couple of things that they may seem a little bit, what is he talking about? But as the Holy Spirit gives you understanding, you will get a deeper insight into what I'm sharing. I'm going to read verse 1 again. The Lord said unto my Lord. So Almighty God was speaking to Jesus. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. I want to just quickly tell somebody that is listening to me, I need to obey the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, you are not going to leave that place where you are. God is going to make those that have been fighting against you, he's going to make them your footstool. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. A lot of people just, have assumed that we're going to have the victory when we go to heaven. Yes. But before we go to heaven, before the rapture takes place, the church is going to come into her own like never before. And we're going to subdue and take charge and take control. And Jesus is going to be glorified like never before. Before the rapture takes place. We're not leaving the earth limping, defeated, broken, busted and disgusted. No, no. We're leaving the earth triumphant. It's a triumphant church that is leaving the earth, that has subdued the enemy under its feet. Verse 2, the Bible says, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. The Lord spoke to my heart as I prepared this message. He said to speak to someone listening to me. You're not going to leave that place. You are going to subdue in that place. You are going to be triumphant in that place where you are. You're not living for nobody. They will live for you. He said, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. And guess what? There are none of your enemies in heaven. So he was talking about the earth here in the earth. I speak to that person again. You are not moving for them. They are going to move for you. You're not going anywhere. They will go. You're staying put. And you're going to rule. You're going to thrive. You're going to prosper in that place where they said you will not prosper. Hear the voice of God. You are going to prosper there. Manta Kaparia, I sense the presence and the power of God. They said you couldn't make it. I've come as God's oracle to tell you, you are going to make it. You are going to make history. Where others failed, you are going to make it. Where others gave up, you are going to make it. You're not leaving anywhere. You're staying there. You're staying put. And you're going to triumph. You're going to reign and rule in that place, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 3, it says, thy people shall be willing. Now I'm getting to the to the real crux of what I want to say. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Let me hold on before I complete the whole verse of scripture. It says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Now, here is where the church has made a big mistake. We pray this prayer. We pray this like a prayer to God. And we say, God, in the day of your power, my people shall be willing. It is not a prayer to God. It was God telling Jesus what was going to happen. Can you pray it as a prayer? Fine. It's not a sin. It's not wrong. But in reality, it was not a prayer. It was not a prayer request. It was a statement of fact from Almighty God about who. Now listen. Don't miss it now. Who is Jesus? Jesus, the Son of God, is the head. If you are a born-again Christian, you and I, we are the body. Jesus is the head. We are the body of Christ. Collectively, we are the body of Christ. When God said these words to Jesus, prophetically, he was speaking to you and I. God was saying, not only to Jesus, but to you and I, in the day of your power, you that is watching this telecast, you that is listening to me, in the day of your power, your people will be willing. Oh, glory to God. It means that the child of God has to step into the place of the power of God. The child of God has to step into the call that God has placed upon his life or her life. In the day of your power, put your hand on your chest and call your name and say, in the day of my power, my people will be willing. It was not a prayer request. It was a statement of fact that in the day of your power, tell somebody beside you, your power. Tell somebody around you, your power. Necessity is laid upon you and I to enter into the day of our power. When we enter the day of our power, whoa, glory to God, then our people will be willing. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. That word willing there is the Hebrew word nedaba. Nedaba. That word willing in verse 3 of Psalm 110. Excuse me. It's the word nedaba. It means to be spontaneous. It means abundant gift. It means freely. It means plentiful. It means voluntary. I love the, one of the first meanings of the word willing. Spontaneous. No begging, no cajoling. Oh, please, will you come to church? How come you weren't in church last week? No, they'll be spontaneous. They're going to do things with abundance. They're going to do it freely, plentiful, voluntary, no begging. In the day of your power, your power, your power, necessity is laid upon you and I to enter the day of our power. Necessity is laid upon you and I. Now, rounding up that verse of scripture, it says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Remember, God is speaking to Jesus, and by extension, he's speaking to the body of Christ, you and I. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. in the beauties of holiness. Oh, holiness is a beautiful thing. Don't be ashamed about talking about holiness. Yes, I know holiness is the character of God, but as Christians, are we walking in holiness? We are the righteousness of God as born-again Christians, but are we walking in righteousness? He says, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. We see that word. That word morning there is symbolic of time. That's the reason why he said morning. And one of the things I can see there is talking about time. And not just any time, but in good time, in the morning, not in the evening, in the morning. Stop wasting time. I'm speaking to somebody under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Stop wasting time. Start now. Stop wasting time. Stop procrastinating. In one of my books, in one of the chapters, I talk about things, seven characteristics about work. And one of the characteristics about work is that we have to work now. We have to work hard. We have to work smart. We have to work well. We have to work hard. One of the things is that we have to work now. Jesus spoke to one guy. He said, "What thou doest, do quickly." Stop wasting time. Get that thing done. I read a statement that a man said, and it changed my life. He said, "The trouble is, you think you have time." Oh, ask people that are getting older. I'm going to be 55 in November. I've been hearing different things. When I turned 50 around 5 years ago, all of a sudden, I began to see different things happening in my body. I said, "What?" I was standing on the word. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. The trouble is, you think you have time. You may not have the time that you think you have. Do it now. Get off that chair now. Make that phone call now. Send that email now. Contact that person now. Get started now. You don't have the time you think you have. Do it now. Luke chapter 4. As I begin to bring this message to a close, Luke chapter 4. We're talking about the day of his power. God, remember, it's not a prayer point. God told Jesus, and by extension, you and I, in the day of your power. Oh, people are going to be nedaba. People are going to be spontaneous. They're going to do things in abundance, freely, plentiful, voluntary. Come on. I want that. Well, enter the day of your power. And of course, the day of your power is connected to his power. We shine because he is the light. I understand that the moon has no light of itself. It takes its light from the sun. And that's how we are, ladies and gentlemen. That's how we are. We shine because he is the light. We can have power because of his power. Right? I'm not discounting the power of God. But you've got to understand that we have to enter into that power. And he said, in the day of your power. In other words, the day that you enter into the manifestation of my power in your life, he said, there's going to be a turnaround. I'm not only preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. Glory to God. We have been begging and begging some people. Ladies and gentlemen, they will run to help you when you enter the day of your power. They'll be struggling and cajoling some people. They will rush to obey when you enter the day of your power. Necessity is laid upon you and I. We got to enter the day of his power. We got to enter the day of our power, connected to his power. Luke chapter 4. And I'm going to start reading. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2, then I'm going to read verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, and I read. It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So follow me carefully. In verse 1, it says, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So he was full of the Holy Ghost. Then he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. That's obedience. And I'm going to come back to that word if I have enough time. Obedience. Verse 2. Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. He fasted for 40 days. And when they were ended, he was afterward hungered. Verse 14. Now I hope you've been paying attention, because in verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. But look at verse 14. That's a complete departure. Verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. He entered into the wilderness full of the Spirit. That's good. But when he came out of the wilderness, after his obedience to the Holy Spirit in the wilderness to do certain things, which included fasting and prayer, the Bible says in verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. There's a difference between the fullness of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit. And Jesus needed the power of the Spirit for his ministry to do what it ought to do. Even Jesus, even our Lord and Savior, needed that day of his power. That's what God told him in Psalm 110. In the day of thy power, in the day of your power. Sorry for the old King James English I'm using. Thy means your. In the day of your power. Oh my goodness. Those things you've been wishing for, they're going to come chasing after you. The Bible says goodness and mercy shall follow you. There are things you shouldn't be chasing. They should be chasing you. When Jesus left the wilderness, after that season of 40 days fasting and prayer, he entered the day of his power. He said, are you sure? Was he not in the day of his power before? No. The Bible says he left in the power of the Spirit. He was not. And I know what the Bible says now. Look at what the Bible says. Look at the latter part of verse 14. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. Businessman and businesswoman, you must enter the day of your power. Student, you must enter the day of your power. Housewife, you must enter the day of your power. College professor, you must enter the day of your power. It's not only for ministers of the gospel. Well, it's for ministers of the gospel. You know why? You know why I corrected myself? Every child of God is a minister of the gospel. And when people say, oh, I'm full-time, you are part-time, let me ask you, are you a part-time Christian or a full-time Christian? There are no part-time ministers. If you're a minister, you are a minister. And as a child of God, you are a minister of reconciliation. Every child of God is a minister. Every child of God. That's a message that pastors need to tell people. Every single child of God on the face of this earth is a minister of the gospel. I'm not a part-time Christian, I'm a full-time Christian. You're not a part-time believer, you're a full-time believer. You're not a part-time minister, you're a full-time minister. Praise God forevermore. My goodness. Hallelujah. And so the Bible is clear. Look at that latter part I was trying to get to. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. There went out a fame, not notoriety, so that he could accomplish his mission. Those people need to be willing so that you can fulfill the mission that God has put into your hands to fulfill. I know I'm out of time. And I, dear Lord, I'm not sure I'm even into half of my message yet. Oh, my goodness. Let me take one more scripture. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. And I'm going to read from verse 1. John chapter 2 from verse 1. And the third day was... there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples into the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Verse 4. Jesus said unto his mother, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Here again, we see the reference to time. Remember the theme for this month about eternity, time, and seasons? He said, it's not my time. My time has not come. It's not my season yet. Woman, leave me alone. I thank God for mothers. They will trouble you and push you into your prophetic destiny. Verse 5. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Obedience. Obedience. You know the key for your time to come, you know the key to entering into your power? Obedience to God. Obedience. Now, that word, hour, is the Hebrew word horah. Horah means time, day, season, instant. When those people obeyed Jesus' instructions, a miracle happened. There was wine. Where doubters would have said there can never be wine. I'm speaking to somebody listening. They have said some things will never happen. I'm here to tell you they are going to happen if only you will obey God. They're going to take place. I speak to that person under the sound of my voice. What God has planned for you, you will step into it. What people have said you cannot do, you are going to do it. You're going to prove them wrong. There's a family I've been praying for, and the father shared a testimony with me. The children, several of the children, doctors have told them there's an incurable disease in them. It's some genetic situation, an incurable disease, and they're going to go downhill. And I've been praying every day, every day, every day. Ladies and gentlemen, you push, pray until something happens. Don't give up. And then the father took them back to the same doctor. And he said, oh my God. He said, they are above normal now. They're even beyond the point of being normal. I pray for somebody watching this telecast in the name of Jesus Christ. I command that negative situation in your life to turn around. I command that sickness to shrivel and die in the name of Jesus. I command the healing power of God into your body in Jesus' name. I curse that growth. I curse that cancer and command it to die in Jesus' name. I command deaf ears open in the name of Jesus. I command dumb tongues be loosed in the name of Jesus. I command deaf, dumb spirit of infirmity, of sickness, of disease. I bind you over God's people and I command you to come out and return no more. In the name of Jesus Christ, I release the healing power of God upon everybody watching this telecast. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command that door that has been locked against you to be opened. I command that job that you have been denied to come into your hands. I open the sluice gates for the resources to come your way in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Father. Confirm your word. Do in people's lives what only you can do, my Father, my God. Prove that you are God in Jesus' name. I tell people the simplest definition of a miracle is an answer to prayer. And you are going to see an answer to your prayers. Don't give up. Don't stop praying. Stand upon the word of God. Pray until something happens, because something is about to happen. Thank you. God bless you. I want to hand over to my host, Pastor Fola, right now.
Lord. Father, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Lord, be it unto each and every one of us, even like the day of Pentecost. Holy Spirit came and sat upon each one. Everyone, Lord, that you have spoken and your word has come to directly, every one of us. Lord, we receive that which only you can do.
Amen.
We receive the entrance of your word.
Amen.
Into our lives, into our hearts, into our situation and circumstances.
Amen.
We receive healing. We receive deliverance. We receive that which your word has come to accomplish.
Amen.
We receive, Lord, because your word cannot return to you void. Father, thank you. You be all the glory, all the power, all adoration.
Hallelujah.
Lord, enter into our place, the
Amen.
Place ordained for us, the place of power.
Yes. Yes.
Lord, we are willing, we are obedient. Jesus, and it's the good of the land, the good of the land, the good that you have ordained for us,
of
us, to your glory and your praise, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Yes. Thank you so much. I don't know if people have any questions, any, or, you know, I know it may take a little time for people to respond because of the little bit of lag in, you know, when we're broadcasting. Maybe there's someone online. There's something you want us to pray with you. You want the man of God and just be agreeing to pray with you concerning specifically. I know the word has gone out. I know some specific rhema word, direct word has gone out. If people, in particular, the power of God. The power of God. So while we are waiting to see if anybody will type in anything, either on Slide or Do, hashtag JESUS, or you want to put a comment or what you want to pray for, yes, on the Facebook, if you're watching via Facebook, or on YouTube. Sir, I have seen some of the things that, to the glory of God, you have witnessed, you know, in years of ministry, raw miracles, you know, documented. That is the beauty of it. They are all documented. I've seen some of you on your Facebook page, Reverend Alric Nii Amon. Your Facebook page and your ministry page, they are there on Facebook. To confirm these things, you said something about obedience. I don't know if you really touched into it. I know time, you know, where we may be restrained by time, but the Spirit of God is not restrained, you know, unless we restrain Him, really. I don't know if you want to touch a little bit more about that obedience.
Actually, because of time, yes. Like I said, I'm not even sure I reached half of my message, but obedience to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God. Because when Jesus entered the day of His power, He was obedient to the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So we need obedience. It starts with obedience. The anointing and all it contains is released to the degree of our obedience. Obedience to God's written word. That's the first thing. God's written word. Obedience to the written word. What does the Bible say? And I challenge people and I encourage people that if the Bible doesn't talk about it, be careful not to follow it. Let's find out, what does the Bible say? So we must be obedient to what the Word of God says. That's what's going to keep us out of hot water in this troubling time that we have, because we have people doing all kinds of crazy stuff and they're calling it the Holy Ghost, and it's not the Holy Ghost. How can we know? The Bible. Is it there in the Bible? Is there scripture and verse for that? So obeying the written word and then obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit. There's something some people will do and say, and inside you say, no, that's not the Spirit of God.
That's right.
And then they'll say, that person has been in ministry for the past 50 years. He knows more than you. But I don't know about that. I need to be careful. Okay? And that's the same Holy Spirit will push you to prayer. Or you wake up in the middle of the night, and trust me, it's not to finish the Netflix movie that you didn't watch, you couldn't finish watching the night before. I'm sure He woke you up to pray. Not to check on Facebook and see who is doing what. I'm not saying don't go to Facebook. I'm on Facebook. But I'm saying He woke you up in the middle of the night. I'm sure most likely He woke you up for a season of prayer. We must follow the written word. We must follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. And let me say this, the voice of the Holy Spirit will always be in concert with the written word. He's the Spirit of the Word. He's not going to say something that is contrary to the word. There was a man that said, I live beyond the Bible now. I finished the Bible, and now I live beyond the Bible. You cannot live beyond the Bible. People that have gone astray have felt that now they finished reading the Bible, they are free. They know everything. I had to warn a man of God that I led to the Lord. He had finished reading the Bible. I said, where's your Bible? He said, he left it. He said, he has finished reading it. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. You know? And so we have this. The Spirit of God will lead you into prayer. He led Jesus into the wilderness. He will lead you into worship. He lead you into fasting. You know, He would lead you into how to walk with Him and fellowship with Him. He lead you how to minister to people. He lead you how to walk in love. These are different topics that I would have spoken about, you know, about manifesting the power and the presence of God. But it starts with obedience. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. And I have a teaching with about 22 or maybe even close to 25 different ways God speaks.
Yes, sir. I was about to ask you that. Please, we're bringing you back.
Oh my goodness!
I've seen it where you said it that, you know, about 20, I saw it, 20 something ways in which, you know, God speaks to us. We, you know, practically, you know, we would love to, you know, have you back. And I think we'll talk behind the scene about that, sir.
If you have me, I'll obey you and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. 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 Yeah. I think that was a question as you were speaking.
Okay.
What does it mean by enter the day of his power, please? And how do you enter yours? But before you address that question, still on obedience. Okay. You know, it's one thing for the Spirit to lead. It's another thing for us to follow.
That's correct.
Could you just maybe throw a bit of light that at times, you know, we may not know when we have missed it. Are there any signs to let us know when we've missed it, we're in disobedience, we have not fully obeyed or, you know, partially obeyed? I don't know if that makes...
It does. This dovetails into the teaching about the voice of God. One of the things I'll just say off the cuff is that you will lose your peace.
Mm.
If you disobey the Spirit of God, you're going to lose your peace.
Mm.
Because peace is the umpire. Your peace, joy, you lose a sense of it. Let me say it in that way. You lose a sense of peace. You lose a sense of that joy that you had, you know, when you're walking in disobedience. And then, of course, you begin to see some certain things not going the way that you expected them to go. When I teach about following the leading of the Holy Spirit, I like to talk about the inward witness, talk about the word number one, the written word. We have to follow the written word. If there's no chapter and verse for it, please put it on the shelf.
Mm.
I'm a stickler for that. There must be chapter and verse for whatever you say you are doing or somebody said you should do.
Mm.
Because we have all kind of crazy things going on. You know, people giving people baths in church and shaving off hair. I mean, I'm in public. Horrible things. There's no chapter and verse for that, please.
Come on.
Right? So we need to put some things aside and follow. What does the Bible say? If all you're going to do is to stand on the written word, you're good. So the Holy Spirit will always move in concert with the written word. It's his word. He will always move in concert with the written word. So it's very important that we follow the written word. Now, a second leading, dimension of leading, apart from the peace, which is the umpire, is what I call the inward witness. An inward knowing.
Mm.
You know, the Bible talks about how the anointing that is in you teaches you all things. So there's an inward knowing, a knowing on the inside of you that I did something wrong here.
Come on.
I didn't go the way I should have gone. You will have that inner knowing. It happened with Jesus. It happened with Apostle Paul. And you can see it in the scriptures. The Bible said, and Jesus knew within himself. And the Bible said concerning Apostle Paul, there was a man who was crippled. And the Bible says, Paul, knowing within himself that the man had faith to be healed. That's right. The inward witness. Where, and you know how the Bible talks about that, that the Bible says the Holy Spirit gives witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Yeah.
Now, if the Holy Spirit will witness with our spirit about the most important thing in our Christian experience, which is our salvation, what else won't he give witness about?
So he
witnesses with our spirit that we are his children. He also witnesses that don't go there. There was a lady, she was standing at the bus stop many years ago, and she just had a strong inner witness saying, move from that bus stop, move to somewhere else.
Mm.
And she just obeyed that inward knowing. It's a knowing. It's not a physical voice. It's a knowing that you know that you know that you know. And she moved. There was a public transport that crashed into the place where she was. killing several people.
Wow.
And just the inward witness. So that's very, very important. Mm. You know, so you know by peace, you know by the inward witness that, oh, I went. I mean, I don't know about you, but there are times I did something wrong and I just lost my peace, or I just had an inward witness that, oh man, you went, you shouldn't have done that. This is what you should have done, you know.
Mm.
You know, I can't go into the details of everything.
We will. Very, very interesting. All right. But to the question, what does it mean by enter the day of his power? And how do you enter yours? That's the question I was asking.
To enter the day of his power, and then also enter the day of your power, means enter a season, a sphere of authority and influence and the power of God manifesting in and through your life.
Mm.
The Bible says when Jesus was teaching in a particular place, he said the power of the Lord was present to heal.
To heal, yeah.
God's power is always present, but there may not be a manifestation of certain things. Obedience causes manifestation of the power of God. It's something we need to break up that will take time, but it's one needs to understand that there are spectacular manifestations. We don't seek for the spectacular. A lot of people want the spectacular. There are spectacular manifestations, and then they're just simple. Every answer to prayer is a miracle. But when we say miracle, people say, oh, deaf ears opening, blind eyes seeing, you know, cripples walking. Yes, that's a miracle. But when God answers your prayer that, Lord, please let this person be in this particular place so that I'll meet this person, that's a miracle. When God sets up a meeting, that's a miracle. It may not be spectacular, but that's a miracle.
Mm.
You know, and so when you enter into the day of your power, now, according to the message that I've shared, a day of the manifestation of the power and anointing of God. God's power is in you. But I'm talking about a manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
It comes by obedience.
Obedience.
Obeying the instructions of God. Obeying the word and then obeying the instructions. Like I was sharing with a pastor recently, I was telling that pastor, I said, the key of discipleship is obedience.
Mm.
Now, that's the key that leads to transformation. A lot of times you just want to give disciples just a lot of information. Thank God for information. But information alone doesn't bring transformation.
Mm. Mm.
Thank God for information. There's a place for information. But it is acting on the word of God that brings transformation. That is the core of discipleship.
Hallelujah.
Teaching them to obey.
Obey.
What I have told you. Teaching them to obey.
Mm.
You can get a disciple. So sometimes we want a disciple to know from A to Z.
Mm.
No, they will know from A to Z eventually. Yes, they will know from Genesis to Revelation. But the little they have, the little light they have, the little truth they have, are they walking in it? Are they obeying the word they have? Until Christians obey the Bible, there will be no transformation.
Hmm.
So everything is hinged on obedience.
Obedience. Thank you, sir. If the media team can give us, because you quoted something, I have read this, preached it, taught it, but now a light about obedience. Matthew chapter 28. Look at what Jesus said about, when he came from verse 18. Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18, we will read down to verse 20. So if the media team can get that ready, I'll read that later. Because someone is asking to be prayed for. And somehow I sense that this is beyond prayer now. if they can bring that question up while we're looking for Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Or if I'm ready, whichever one you're ready with. Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18 to 20, to let us see power and obedience linked so powerfully. You quoted the scripture now, and it's like a light bulb moment again. Okay, Jesus comes in verse 18, sir, and he said, all power, all authority. You know, the King James Version says, all power has been given in heaven and earth, has been given unto me. So power is available. And then he now says, you go. Go, therefore. Make disciples of all nations. You know, going is an instruction. Obeying that instruction is another matter. So you go, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He now says in verse 20, which he said now, teaching them to observe all things. That is obedience.
Yeah.
Everything that I have commanded you, that is what releases the power. When we obey. So like you said in discipleship, to teach disciples that, look, obedience is the key. If you are willing and
obedient,
obedient, you will eat the good of the land.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, sir. Wow. That is key. There's power, but people, obedience unlocks the power.
That's right.
Obedience unlocks the power. And finally, sir, I know our time is really gone, but when we have, you know, times like this, it's like, please don't go. Now, this person is saying this. I don't know what you have to say about this. Said, thank you, sir. I want you to pray for me on faith and humility. My pride and thoughts hinder me from humbling myself and believing.
Okay. It's something that one would love to be able to sit down, you know. I think you can be able to do that, you know, and sit down and get more details, you know. But I'll just say off the cuff that faith, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, you know. So faith, when it comes to faith, you have to spend time studying and meditating on the word of God, you know. As you look at the humble Galilean, and you study the humble Galilean, and you study his life in the Gospels, you begin to see how Jesus behaved. And if you would make up your mind and say, I want to pattern my life after Jesus. A lot of times we want to pattern our life after people. That's good if they're doing the right thing. Paul said, be followers of me as I am a follower of Christ. Right. So it's important that as we pattern our, if we're going to pattern ourselves after someone, the main person we pattern ourselves after is the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And some people may say, oh, I wish Jesus was here so I could walk with him. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So you can actually walk with him. You can see the way he prayed. You can see the way he handled people. And begin to pattern you. That's part of obedience. Begin to pattern yourself. Look at the disciples were saying, come on, these children, get away, get away. Jesus said, no, allow the little children to come unto me. For such is the kingdom of God. And we see different examples in the scriptures of how Jesus handled people, how he related with people. That will help us with humility. Again, we can pray about humility and say, God, you know, take pride away from me. I remember I had an encounter. There was a gentleman who, back in the university days, he was doing so much for God. I was experiencing the power of God in my life. And I was seeing different things happening, and you know, I was comparing myself that this guy, he goes everywhere, and you know, it was like he doesn't even see what I'm seeing. I'm not doing as much as he's doing, and I'm seeing certain things, but he's going all over the place, and the Holy Spirit hit me. I said, gentleman you're talking about is my son.
Mm.
And he's doing a lot more than you.
Mm.
I broke down and I wept. I cried. I was the only one. This is one of the first times, I'm guessing, maybe one or two times that I've ever shared this testimony. I cried and cried and cried like a baby.
Mm.
The place of prayer. God, break me down. God, humble me.
Mm.
God, break me down. God answers prayers. Like a man of God said, he said, if there are some things you don't want, then don't pray about them. God will answer.
Mm.
And I was so broken down. And that was a major transformation in my life. Because God had to deal with the spirit of pride. That, why, what do you think you're talking about? Oh, because he's running up and down and doing this. And you think because you're not doing as much and you're having these manifestations, therefore, get off your high horse.
Mm.
And that just changed my life.
Mm.
You know, and nobody's perfect. We're all working towards being more and more like Jesus every single day, again and again. That's our objective, that's our focus. Being like Jesus.
Yes.
How would Jesus do it? How would Jesus relate to people? How would Jesus speak? You know, and you look at things like that. You look at a man of God was saying that people couldn't even recognize who Jesus was, that they had to point Jesus out. Judas had to point him out for the people that wanted to arrest him. They were all alike. There was no, oh, this is me. This is, you know, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. There was no excessive, differentiation between Jesus and the disciples. He had to be pointed out because they were alike. They looked alike. They were just alike.
Mm. Mm.
So when you follow the humble Galilean, he begins to introduce you to the life of humility. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, he said.
I'm meek and lowly in heart.
Yeah. His burden is light, his burden is easy. His yoke is light, his burden is easy.
Mm. Mm. Thank you, Lord.
You can pray about it. You can pray. For faith, you need to study God's word. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And listen to people who are people of faith. And then when it comes to humility, you need to pray. You need to take time and pray and say, God, humble me. And God will answer your prayer.
Hmm.
Answers, you may not like the way he will do it.
That's right.
No, you may not like the way he do it. You may sit down. You may go to a conference, sit down in the front, and they will just usher you to the back. Oh, my God. Oh, and then he's dealing with your pride. It's different things, you know.
Like amen and amen. Wow, thank you so much. Our time has gone. We've pulled you beyond, the scheduled time also.
Pleasure is mine. I'd love to go on more, but
yes, and we'll see behind, because it will be very, very good to be able to know the different ways God communicates with us. To us. And everybody, please let's celebrate and thank God for the life of my brother, my friend, many decades, Reverend Alric Nye Amon from Dallas, Texas, who has been with us tonight. Thank you so much. I pray God will refuel, refire.
Amen.
And the power of God upon and around and within you will continue to flow.
Amen.
Very, very, very much. And our love to your lovely, lovely, lovely missus.
Thank you.
God will continue to renew her strength.
Amen.
We have a saying in our secondary school where Reverend Nia and I went. our wives are called young girls. We pray God will continue to renew her strength and
amen.
Forever young and refreshing and, there with amen. You, for you, around you, like the virtuous woman.
Amen.
So we send our love to her. And, talking about Father's Day on Sunday, there was something I was talking. This is behind the scene, our conversation.
Okay.
I learned something from what you said. I want to say this before we go off and we hand over to the media team. I was asking, my brother and friend, Reverend Nee, that, when can we catch up? And then he said something that, he's promised to be with his daughter, to have a date with his daughter. I said, wow, that is a father.
Hallelujah.
A father. Father, present, not just giving presents, dedicated time to their children, and especially to our daughters.
Mm.
Men, fathers, if we don't date our daughters, not in that country, the world will give them dates that they would like. So I learned that a great deal from you, sir. I don't have a biological daughter, but I have many spiritual daughters that God has given to us. But I needed to throw that out for a man, peradventure a man who's got a daughter there. Listen, learn something there. I needed to throw that out. And thank you for not just preaching, Reverend Arik, but for also demonstrating and living it.
Amen.
So God bless you, sir. Amen. Thank you once again.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
All right. On this note, thank you, everybody, from wherever you're joining. We hand over to the media team for the announcement and as we close. God bless you.